Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thanks for being with me here today as we talk about quiet, powerful innovation. Sometimes things are shouted from the rooftops, and sometimes they're doing quiet behind the scenes, even sometimes in back rooms and things like that. Not, you know, dirty dealings or anything like that, but just amazingly powerful innovations that are happening in the world that you probably don't even know about them. I don't know about a lot of you, but some of you, the whole concept even still of AI, you may or may not know what ChatGPT is, even though, different AI platforms, whether you're talking about Gemini or ChatGPT or things like that, are more than likely where the younger generation is going to be searching for their information. You know, they've gone away from Google, they've gone away from Wikipedia pages, and they're going straight to the different AI programs for searches. That's just one idea of innovation. And often we find ourselves sitting around going, I don't know if this thing's going to last or not. But what I encourage you to do, just like I did back with the internet, like I've done so many times, is really grab a hold of these innovations. Look at how can AI make your life better? Not how can it make you do less, but actually how can it help you do more? How can you make more of a difference in the world through the things that you can innovate? And it doesn't have to be AI. It could be a system. It could be a process. It could be something that is very similar to the way things have been done, but just by adding your unique little spin in it, you can innovate and make it so much more powerful. In those quiet yet powerful ways, you can innovate, make a difference that only you can make in this world, and cause the people that really need what you're doing or what you could be doing in the world to have better lives, have the answers they're looking for, to find that thing that they're literally searching for right now. And maybe they're not searching Google, maybe they're on ChatGPT or something like that, but they're literally searching for it right now to try to find that solution they're looking for. And your quiet yet powerful innovation could be that very thing that could help them live as a thriving entrepreneur. With that said, we've got four amazing guests, and we're going to jump right in to our guests, not guests, here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Let's listen in. Join me in welcoming David Heacock. Hey, David, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good, thanks. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, well, my name is David Heacock. I'm the founder and CEO of FilterBuy. We're the largest direct-to-consumer manufacturer of air filters. I started the business about 12 years ago and bootstrapped it to about $250 million a year today. I'm on a mission to build the world's leading indoor air quality company. And so I've now decided to start talking about it quite publicly to help to get people aligned on my mission.
So when you talk air filters, are you talking about the ones that go in the furnace or the portable ones you put in your room, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the ones that go into an HVAC system, whether that be a AC or furnace, any central HVAC system, whether it be in a commercial building or in a home, depleted air filter, which you put in to both protect the unit itself as well as to take dust and pollutants out of your airflow. That's the filter that we actually manufacture.
I love that. So how does your filter compare to some of the ones, I couldn't even name a brand name, but some of the ones you find at the normal hardware stores and stuff like that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The air filter market is generally kind of you think of like the residential air filter market, and you have like the commercial side of the business. And so if you went into like a Walmart or a Home Depot or a big box store like that, traditionally you would find kind of lower end filtration products that are geared up for the residential market. And then you have some, higher end type filtration that generally would be served into the commercial market. Because we're completely direct to consumer, vertically integrated, manufacture all of our own products here in the US and ship it direct to the end user. We manufacture commercial grade products and ship them to homes and businesses. So we only have, the high quality commercial grade products that we're able to offer at a comparable or oftentimes cheaper price, because we have a direct to consumer model, which is kind of very different than the traditional distribution model that you would see in the filtration world. So we basically offer a, commercial grade type product that we oftentimes are selling into homes at a comparable price.
I love that. Is it on a subscription type of model or just order when you need them, or how does that normally work?
We do both. Some customers love subscriptions and want to just not have to think about it again and to kind of set it and forget it. So we have a, fairly large subscription business, but we have a lot of customers that, want to buy a year's worth of supply and not think about it for a year and not be auto charged on their credit card. And we have a purchasing, flow for them as well. So it's really whatever the customer wants. But we do both.
And I know that the market just runs all over the place from, the really super cheap ones you could probably find, like you said, at Walmart, all the way up. When you're talking comparatively, are you talking comparatively to something that's like a 3M product or something like that? Or, do you even compete with the Walmart,
Yeah,
whatever their
well,
generic one is?
we actually have a great partnership with Walmart. We launched at Walmart last year. We're now in about 550 stores. So you can actually find our product in a subset of Walmart's and hopefully more over the coming year. We definitely compete with big brands like 3M in the market. Like until for the first 12 years or so of the business, we were 100% online. Well, I should say 100% online, and we have a fairly large business to business segment where we actually, sell directly to businesses as well. That's actually probably our fastest growing segment is the kind of, business side of our organization. But within the residential world, we definitely compete with big brands like 3M, and are, starting to roll out into retail. We started that rollout last year and hope to really expand that this year.
That's amazing. So, give us some insight. I know you wrote a book that's Air Filters 101. Give us a little primer on what kind of things should we really know about air filters that makes us, hopefully want to go with you, actually.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. That was a long time ago that I wrote that as a marketing thing. So you must have done some deep research. I think that you're going to hear a lot more about air quality over the coming years. I mean, I'm certainly hope to be a proponent of it, but there's this guy named Brian Johnson, who's the longevity guru, who just spends like $2 million a year on living forever is his claim to fame. And he started putting out videos with the focus on air quality because he's come to realize that how important it is for our health. And there's the indoor your indoor air quality affects your ability to learn. It affects kids' IQs. It's one of the areas that we get actually microplastics into our body through that indoor air quality. So indoor air quality is just a super important thing that I don't think has gotten enough attention over the years. And that's part of why I'm on a mission to, build the world's leading indoor air quality company. But within air filters themselves, you really want to think about your MERV rating that you're buying. I mean, we offer like MERV 8, MERV 11, and MERV 13 filters. A standard MERV 8 is generally good enough to protect your unit and to do some kind of base level filtration. But we generally would recommend a MERV 11 or a MERV 13 for a traditional residential home. That's just the me a MERV is just the measure of how small of a particle it's going to take out of the air if it's circulated in your space. But in terms of like really boosting your air quality, the thing that I recommend for anybody to do, and we have a service business in Florida where we're starting to do this, and we hope to kind of expand it over the next year. But is install a UV light. Generally, you can work with an HVAC contractor to install a UV light for a couple hundred bucks. It's not a super high lift, but the combination of a UV light and an air filter will act as like an air purifier for your home. And that's the cheapest way that I know to really start to move the needle on your indoor air quality. And just one thing to note is that only works if you have good airflow and like a good duct system within your home. And if you don't, that's something that you need to think about. And your only option there is to go and get an air purifier with a high quality filter in it, generally a HEPA filter in it. And that air purifier will actually take care of a room. But for most homes that have like central AC and a decent duct system, the cheapest way to do it is to install an UV light with a high quality air filter like a MERV 11 or MERV 13 from FilterBuy. And that combination is one of the kind of cheapest lifts that anybody can do to really increase the air quality of their home or their business.
How would you, I mean, as lay people, how do we know if we have good airflow in our house?
Well, airflow is something you can feel, right? I mean, like you kind of know if if air is circulating through a space. And I mean, that's generally based off of how your ducts, work. But like you know if you kind of feel the breeze of an airflow and you feel that air circulation versus if it's something that is kind of stagnant. So that's how you would think about airflow. Measuring actual in air quality is a trickier thing, and there are some commercial devices that some HVAC companies will come out and use. We've actually been studying these devices in pretty great detail here over the last year or so, and we're hoping to either roll out or kind of partner with one in the coming months. But it's something that we're not that we're kind of there's a lot of bad there's a kind of a lot of misleading devices out there that don't actually kind of do the job that they say that they're going to do in terms of measuring the actual air quality. So measuring air quality is tricky, but there is the IAQ index that you can search for that will tell you about like the indoor air the air quality of your general area based off of where you're living. So that would be something that you can look at to see like if your area has particularly bad air quality or not. But in terms of airflow, it's really you know if you have a if air is moving and circulating and you kind of get that breeze or whatnot in your space versus there's no airflow, no movement to kind of stagnant, and then you probably do not have good a good ducting system, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely, it does. All right. So, talk to us about what our different options are, how we would go in order, that kind of thing.
Well, for an air filter, filterby.com is the is the place that I would point you. But we also sell on Amazon or on walmart.com, as well as 550 Walmart stores. Like you can go to our website and look at the store locator and search where we are. Filterby.com is really the place to do it, and we do offer a subscription, as you kind of said earlier, so you get a bit of a discount if you sign up for a subscription. And the nice thing about that is you never have to worry about forgetting about ordering your air filters, and that's kind of your reminder to change it. So that's how most people actually use that. But we also am happy to sell you one off. And we have 7 distribution centers throughout the U.S. and 3 manufacturing facilities. And so we get to 90% of the U.S. If you order before 2 o'clock, you're going to get your order next day, which is a big competitive advantage that we have.
And I just want to go back for a second because you brought up MERV, MERV, and I guess I don't really totally know what that is. Can you give us a little more information on that?
Yeah, so I believe it stands for minimum efficiency rating value is what the acronym actually means. And literally, it's just the higher the MERV, the smaller the particle that it will be filtered out. And so, like if you get to like a HEPA grade, which you couldn't put in a regular HVAC unit, it's taking out 99.9% of all particles that could, like little microscopic particles that, kind of could permeate that media. So like the every filter has a media that you know, is basically just this, you know, it kind of feels like a cloth almost, that we use Kimberly Clark as our provider. They're who we've partnered with to make sure we have kind of best in class media, but that media is what's actually doing the work to take the pollutants out of the air. And so the higher the MERV rating, the more pollutants that are being taken out of the air. Obviously there is a limit to that, because like if you could just put up a wall and that would take all the pollutants out of the air, or block everything from coming in, but that would also block all the airflow that's kind of being circulated through your HVAC system. So there's a limit to you know, how much airflow you can restrict when you're doing that. But you know, a MERV 13 is really the highest efficiency rating that you could use without blocking too much airflow and putting too much pressure on your unit. And that, you know, will get, you know, very small particles out of the air that, you know, will help to like any time a pollutant or, you know, you know, any type of like bacteria kind of hits that media when it's circulating through, then that media will collect it more or less. And that's the MERV is just the measure of how small of a particle can be taken out of that by the media.
And so if I heard you correctly earlier, you're saying that in most cases, you're going to recommend an 11. A 13 would, of course, be even better, but 11 is usually where most people should be. Yeah.
Correct. I mean, 11 is enough to like collect pet dander and this kind of stuff, which a lot of people have in their homes. And generally, 11 is high enough to get out most people, what most people would be worried about, you know, collecting. But that's why I also recommend UV light, because like a UV light is basically going to kill any bacteria or anything that hits it. And if your air is flowing through that UV light, through the filter and then through a UV light, then basically it's going to zap out any kind of pollutant that could be in the, you know, in your airstream. So that's why that's kind of that's what I recommend for most people that are really thinking about their air quality. But a MERV 11 filter is like kind of the standard that we recommend for everyday use.
Well, I totally love that. And give us your URL one more time.
It's filterby.com, filterbuy.com.
Well, David, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
I love this concept. And all too often, we forget about that filter that's in our HVAC system, our heaters or our air conditioners or both. And, you know, having a service that just is regularly going to deliver them, and they're, if not, probably more cost-effective to just be able to do it that way too. What a great service. Something that's a quiet yet very powerful innovation that can make such a huge difference in your life. I hope you'll check them out. And I hope that you are thinking of some quiet, powerful innovations in your life that allow you to live as a thriving entrepreneur. We've got another great guest. We're going to go commercial free again today and talk to you more about how you can innovate quietly but powerfully and show up as a thriving entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming Andrew Russell. Hey, Andrew, how you doing today?
I'm amazing. Thanks for having me.
So great to have you here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Me? How do I show up in the world? So I am the father of two of the most delicious kids in the history of the world, Danielle and Gabriella, 6 and 8. They're my big why, I guess, in the whole business world. You know, you always want to know someone's big why. Those two little blondies are certainly my big why. I was, with a little bit of luck and a lot of hard work, able to open up a mortgage broker company in the state of New York. In 2017, it was me and two people. Fast forward now, we're between 40 and 50 at this point. I've won Mortgage Broker of the Year 3 years in a row. That's right, three-peated, baby. And we're a top broker team across the country. And now we have an amazing venture going on where we're going to be shooting for the number one spot in the whole country. So there's a lot of exciting stuff happening at RCG Mortgage, where I own.
Absolutely love that. So after all the years of doing it, what's the secret to having grown to being such a big mortgage company when so many of them are so small?
That's a great question. So, you know, for me, I don't have a business background. I have a psychology background. I have a master's in psychology. So a lot of people came to this business with more of like a business approach. I guess for me, it's more of a customer journey experience approach. and a real, we most of our business is realtor referral. So if I was an agent and I referred, like Steve, for an example, a client, what would I want the journey to look like on my end and also the client's end? So our business plan is pretty airtight to grow, scale, and offer 5-star. So I think at this point we have like 165 star reviews, which is pretty good. But I did that because I took more of a psychological client journey empathetic approach versus just like a pure business numbers approach. And I think the market's really taken to that, as you've seen with some of our successes. But that's been our hyper focus. It's more what can we do to ensure the client journey when they buy a house or do a refinance, and also the realtor journey when they refer us business is 5-star and white glove. That's been our focus.
Totally love that. After all these years, what have you learned? What is the thing that you know now that if you could go back to the beginning, you would tell yourself, start doing this from the beginning?
So that's a very good question too. Your boy Andrew's 43 years old. I don't know how old you are. It's not my business. Maybe you're in your 20s, but things change as you're in your 40s, and they change somewhat quick. So sometimes it's like the shoulda, coulda, woulda. I think I have a gift of being able to remember things very well and communicate well and build relationships well. But sometimes when things come easy to you, you don't do that extra above and beyond to really hone in your craft. Specifically, all the reading, all the books. There's a lot of great knowledge bases out there and great books where if I would have dove into that maybe in my 30s decade, I would have been a little bit farther, I think. I just thought maybe it's not necessary. Who reads, right? Quote unquote. But I started this journey of, I wouldn't say self-improvement. It's just more, hey, when I was in my teens and 20s, I used to study daily and really focus on growing, the brain muscle. And from there till 40s, I probably stopped. I did a lot of work naturally. I got great at doing mortgage and mortgage technician stuff. But I've really taken a journey now of reading all the books, Buy Back Your Time, Atomic Habits, Make Your Bed, which is kind of funny at my age to read a book like that. But all of those books, I'm kind of frustrated I didn't start that earlier because I've learned so much, little nuggets in all of them. That would be like if I could look back, I'd be like, hey, Andrew, in some of this downtime, I think you should read some of these books because a lot of great people wrote them and there's a lot of takeaways. So that's what I would tell my younger self.
I love that. And do you provide mortgages for anywhere around the country or only in a specific area?
Yeah, so we're a mortgage broker company, so we're not just universally licensed. We're on a journey now to like 20 states, so we're not in all 50 states, but we're outside just our New York pocket. We've expanded and have growth happening in California and Texas. Alabama is very popular for us, Arizona. So we're growing. So hopefully over the next couple of years, we get close to that 50 state number.
Well, you said something interesting when you were introducing yourself. Your why isn't money. It isn't, wealth or power or fame or any of those kind of things. It really is your daughters. How long did it take you to discover what was really important in your life?
I mean, that's a great question. So, I had my kids, and when you have kids, those beginning years, it's, until they become like toddlers and like little functioning humans, it's just a lot of babysitting and all that stuff. So, I had the luxury that I was able to go out and build business. And, I was the guy that put the kids to bed. But you kind of don't realize initially how amazing this journey is being a parent. I could tell you, God gave me a lot of superpowers. Some of them, if you met me, you'd be surprised that I don't have. I'm 6'3", 275, maybe if I'm lucky and I need to make cheeseburgers, but you'd think I look like a big man that knows how to change a flat tire and do spackle. I don't even know how to spell spackle. Like, it's just not how we grew up. We were all sports. So for me, it's just funny. My superpowers are being a girl dad, which I think I kick butt, and also doing mortgage. So I love, for whatever reason, I love. I've always loved children. I've had like kids speak. I just have a lot of patience with them, where some don't have patience with adults. I have it with children. And I love all the moments with my two daughters. Like, they're super cool. They're definitely girly in their ways, but they're athletic and they're jocks in their other ways. So it's cool. I'm a big Jet fan. So they bought into the, loser franchise of the Jets like Daddy did. And it's a really cool experience just loving on them and being a present dad. As much as you don't want moments to end, the next moment and the next thing that we obsess over is even cooler. But I've realized now, like the older one, I call her my bean sprout, and the younger one, I call her my little jelly bean or string bean. And I'm like, oh my God, this year they turned 9 and 7. That means my older one is going to be 10 soon. Like, that's crazy. So I'm really trying to do a good job to really grow this company and lead by example, but also find a way to have more time and freedom to be with them. And it's the little things, the little moments. It's after school, doing the sports after school, the homework, it's the dinners. It's hard for an entrepreneur businessman to really get all those intimate moments with their kids because you have to grow your business, right? And it's balancing all the different things. But I realized recently, and it's not that I haven't been present, I've realized recently, being on the soccer field on the weekend and taking calls. And then as they get older, they give you like that look, like, Dad, come on, you're really going to be on the phone right now? That I could do a better job delegating, which is part of the books I told you, buy back your time. So I'm trying to delegate all the low-level tasks, not the highest and best use of my time, so I can be more present with them. Because again, I've realized time flies. Time goes by faster, I think, as you get older, faster. It's like this weird, vortex of time speeding up as you get older. And I just want to make sure that now that they're getting older, you can't redo any of this lost time. I just want to make sure that I do everything I can to be present and available.
So what, for the people that are in one of the 20 states you work with, what does it take to be able to work with you?
Listen, all it takes is the desire to work with the best mortgage team in the history of America. So, you could always find us on social. I have a big social media following at this point. Our TikTok and our Instagram is flames, pretty solid. It's at I am Andrew Russell. I am Andrew, RU2S, E2Ls. You can call our general number, of course, 631-433-3505. Our website's www.rcgmortgage.com. A broker company's cool. They specialize in all the mortgages. So if you're thinking of buying, selling, refining, anything that potentially would have a mortgage attached to some part of it, it always makes sense to speak with a high-level mortgage broker loan officer who has access to all the type of loan products in the country, but also has great experience. I can tell you, I've worked with over 10,000 people, and the best mortgage loan officers, which is what you call a salesperson, is not the amount of business that they're doing. It's just more so who has seen all the stuff that goes wrong. I've literally seen everywhere possible a client or a transaction could get derailed, and that's what makes the mortgage guys the best. How do you get the train back on the tracks, proverbially, to be able to close in an expedient manner? That's what makes us. That's like our superpower here at RCG Mortgage. Between that and having wholesale pricing, which is basically lower than market, that's the reason why they'll reach out to our company, a client.
Perfect. Well, before I let you go, give us one last piece of information on how we can succeed massively in business, but also live our best life at the same time.
I think that for me, to have the best life in business, but also with family, the most important thing is you need a treasure map, a business plan. You have to kind of map out and have conversations with yourself, which sometimes can be awkward. Who talks to themselves? But hey, what are the important things to me? Is it business? Is it family? Is my husband or wife? Is it health? Health is important. We haven't talked about that. So it doesn't just happen by osmosis. Maybe when we're in our 20s or teens, you can lose weight quick, you can meet people fast or whatever it is. But I think as you're in your 40s and older, especially if you want to be an entrepreneur, 7, 8, 9-figure earner, and have a family and be a present dad, you have to be very, specific and intentional with what your goals are and then execute on them. So step number one is what's important to you, and everyone's different. That's all good. And then once you know what's important, you really have to map out a plan to make sure you could do it. For me, as an example, for me to have a good health journey, get in great shape and make sure that I'm healthy and around for my kids forever, lose weight, feel good. For me to be a present dad, for me to be, a present partner in a relationship, for me to crush it in my mortgage business and grow and set records. For me, it's my night routine. Anything for me that happens after 8, 9 o'clock at night is never useful. I'm a doom scroller, Steve, on YouTube shorts. I love grilling shows. So somehow I'm always seeing some Las Vegas steakhouse that's opening, making me salivate, but nothing productive happens for me after 8, 9 o'clock at night. So I've just made a concerted effort to go to bed by then, believe it or not. So I'm like an early to better type thing. And I wake up between 4 and 5. All of that is only because I wrote down what's important to me and I reverse engineered how to get there. So anything is possible, I think, for anybody out there. It's just you have to really plan what's important and reverse engineer how to do it. Otherwise, without a plan, you're screwed.
I totally love that. Well, Andrew, thank you for so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The top mortgage broker in the world. And what is his innovation? He just quietly is giving really great customer service, something you can totally do. You don't need an AI system. You don't need anything else. You just need systems in place to be able to really, truly help your people. What a great innovation. What a great way to help and be the thriving entrepreneur that you're meant to be in this world. I hope you'll really adapt to that and innovate in that way. Let's jump in to our next guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming RT Custer. Hey, RT, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah, so I run Vortic Watch Company, a manufacturing company focused on wristwatches here in Fort Collins, Colorado. So it's one of the only American manufacturing companies that makes watches, or one of the only companies that makes watches in the USA. And we have two brands, Vortic Watch Company and Colorado Watch Company. And that's really our mission is to, we like to say, why let the Swiss have all the fun? Let's make watches here. And I am a father, two boys, 5 and 7, happy husband, and yeah, just trying to live the American dream.
I love that. And I actually, believe it or not, know where Fort Collins is. I know a lot of people don't, but yeah, that's cool. All right. So talk to us about your watches. What makes them stand apart from everything else in the market?
Yeah, so we started with just Vortic Watch Company, which is antique American pocket watches that we turned into wristwatches. I've been doing that for about 10 years, and every single watch is one of a kind, a true piece of American history on the inside. So literally the inside of an antique American pocket watch that we convert into a wristwatch, and we manufacture everything on the outside. And that's what we call Vortic, like vortex and tick-tock, a beautiful clash of old and new. And we've been doing that for, yeah, about 10 years, and we can't make very many. And so recently we started Colorado Watch Company in order to scale. Now we have two brands. And the point of Colorado Watch Company is just how do we make thousands of watches now, but make them as much in America as possible? We're almost 90% American made right now, which is the most American made watch today at scale. And those are my two things.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So, going through the process, what are some of the things that you've learned about being in business that have helped you be able to, grow and scale?
Yeah, I think number one for me is always ask for help. It's connect with other people, especially entrepreneurs, whether they're in my space or not. Honestly, I've connected with a lot of people that work in different businesses and different sectors, but they have similar problems. And so I just say, hey, have you ever experienced this with an employee? Or have you ever, had to negotiate payment terms on a contract like this? Or hey, is this thing that person asked me, is that normal? I think the is that normal question, I think we all have as entrepreneurs all the time. And so having a network of people that you can ask for help, I think has really, helped me more than literally. It's helped me just like throughout so many aspects of even just making sure that I'm doing the right thing and making sure that I'm focused on the right priority in my business. So I would say that's number one is just having a good network of people that I can ask for help. And number two is really building out that support structure of, my family life. My wife's an entrepreneur as well, and so she understands my drive and, the constant need to work and make sure everything's okay, as well as my team here. You know, I have a chief of staff, or you know, she started as my assistant, but basically like head of people, you know, keeping track of everybody and making sure everybody's also working on the same thing and they know what they're working on. And then a director of operations, somebody to manage all the people so that I can stay out ahead and work on all the new things and have all these crazy ideas, and my people still know what they're doing day to day and what they should focus on today.
Love that. So, after the years you've been in business, what's the one thing that you know now that you wish you could have known way back day one when you were starting?
Gosh, you know, for me, I think I wish that I had known that it was all going to work out and that I'm not crazy. And I think you learn that through just doing. And so, you know, you can't go back and do it again. But there was so much fear in the beginning of like, am I doing the right thing? Is this going to work out? You know, all that kind of stuff. And knowing that like I was actually working on the right thing the whole time and that people were interested in what I was doing, I think just having some of that feedback from my audience before I started asking for help and before I started asking my customers what they thought and did, you know, surveys and stuff like that. I wish I knew that, you know, a little bit earlier. I think half of it is earned and learned, you know, through the process. But I think I could have started asking for help and started asking for advice a little bit sooner. And I think I could have, you know, looked elsewhere and looked outward for some of that feedback earlier on. I think I had my head in the sand for the first like 3, 4 years of entrepreneurship, just like pushing, 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 no matter what. And when I started looking up and looking around is when I truly started to grow.
How do you maintain that work-life balance? How do you keep things good at home and still continue keeping the company growing?
Yeah, so knock on wood, you know, again, I have a an entrepreneur for a spouse, and so I think work-life balance to myself and Lindsay is different than it is to most other people. You know, our dates when we were just dating were mostly talking about business and our ideas and what we wanted to accomplish in life. And, you know, we think marketing is sexy. So I think we're a little weird in that way. But as far as work-life balance, for me, that means just spending optimal time with my kids and making sure that I can be present for them. And that's the biggest thing I've learned to focus on is when I'm home physically and mentally, you know, whatever you have to do. If, you know, I heard somebody on a podcast actually talk about, you know, they get out of their car in their garage and they like, you know, touch the top of the doorway between their garage and their house. And when they just make that physical contact with their home, they, you know, switch mentally into, you know, home dad and not the hustler at work. And so I started doing stuff like that of just like, okay, how do I snap out of work mode and snap into husband mode or father mode? And it does take that focus. It does take that, you know, specificity to make sure that you're doing that right. And all we can do is try, and I try my hardest. And I know my kids see me trying, and they're still a little young to really fully understand. But I think when they grow up and they see how successful myself and Lindsay are, they would have seen us working, and they would have seen us playing, and they would have seen that that's just how we chose to balance, and that's what balance looked like for us.
I love that. Let's talk about how people get a hold of you and, you know, what kind of products do you have available for them and how can they get them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the best way to get in touch with me if you want to talk, you know, entrepreneurship and these things, it's just RT Custer on LinkedIn or Instagram, like RT, like Robert Thomas, CUSTER. And then Vortic Watch Company is my main brand. It's vorticwatches.com. We also have coloradowatchcompany.com. Honestly, just Google Colorado Watch Company or Made in USA Watches. I'm pretty much the only one doing that kind of thing, and we're in Colorado, so you'll find us.
That is so cool. Well, give us some help and advice. What is one thing that a person listening to the show could do right now to uplevel themselves in their business?
I think to truly up level, you need to get out of your own way. And I think a lot of us think too much before we take action. We plan too long before we even write down the strategy. We're strategizing in our head and then we write it down and then we think about it and maybe we lose sight of it. And, the day-to-day kind of, gets in the way, and it gets in the way of, we get in the way of ourselves. And so I think the best thing that I've done to start up leveling is literally, you said one thing. Do that one thing that you really need to accomplish first every single day. I love that concept of the one thing in the book, the one thing, and that's how I've, leaned into productivity specifically, is there's always one new idea, one, marketing objective, one person you need to call to make a sale, one hard conversation you need to have first thing in the morning. Do those things right away, first thing, before you get into the normalcy of day to day, and you'll get stepwise ahead every single day, step by step every single day.
I completely love that. And give us the URL for your companies again, please.
VorticWatches.com, VORTIC Watches.com, and ColoradoWatchCompany.com.
Perfect. Well, RT, I really appreciate all you're doing in the world. Thanks for your help and advice to entrepreneurs. And I look forward to learning more about your watches. Thanks for being on the show here today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Find something you love. Find a way to do it and then begin to look for, are there other things in the world, in the marketplace, that you can or should be doing that can also allow you to show up and quietly innovate in a powerful way in the world and to be in this world the thriving entrepreneur that you were meant to be. I love that concept and I hope that you'll adapt it in your life too. Let's listen to one more guest and round off our quiet, powerful innovation here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Let's jump in. Joining me in welcoming Zach Staples. Hey, Zach, how you doing today?
Steve, I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on today. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
I am, let's see, born and bred in Texas, left for 20 something years to serve the country in the Navy. Was the son of a single mom who was entrepreneurial and always kind of had a vision of starting something entrepreneurial when I finished service to my country. And when that wrapped up in 2017, I decided to start a tech company and came home to Austin to do it.
And what kind of things does your company do?
So, we got to do some complicated stuff. When people ask me on an airplane or a podcast, I like to tell them, like, we build technology at the intersection of AI and Greece. So, we like to do high technology projects that influence and support industrial systems. So we do AI optimization for large machinery. We build AI platforms for on-premises environments, particularly in support of national security. So we're in the defense innovation space at the edge of kind of old machines and new software.
Brings up an interesting question for me. I mean, are there any machines out there that are still running that are not in some way computer driven?
Very, very few, right? The process control that we expect right now from most things is almost always driven by some sort of programmable logic controller. So you can't, a modern fighter jet, for example, is inherently unstable. So you can't have a line, a rope connected to the aileron. It just won't stay in the air. So, at the far extreme end, you have, almost everything in the air is fly-by-wire. And on the left-hand side of that, almost all industrial automation, whether it's generators making electricity for a municipality or it's engineering control systems on a ship, there's just very few things left where, you mechanically adjust a throttle or a filter or something like that.
In some ways that's good, and in some ways that's bad. I remember, and this has been a few years ago, but I remember back in the day, there were a lot of mechanics that, after pretty much a certain year in the 1970s, they just would not work on a vehicle anymore because of all of the computer stuff in it, So,
You're getting at this really weird paradox, right? There is everything is computer controlled. So whether it's the cars you're talking about and the kind of the engine control units that control them, there are goals we want from machines that require that sort of closed feedback. So I'll give you just a really good example. In your car, there's a couple sensors in the exhaust line that can sense the how much oxygen and if there's any fuel coming out in the exhaust. And then they can adjust the fuel mix going into the engine so that all of it gets burned and there's less, actual fuel going out the back. That makes gas mileage, go way up. And it makes fuel consumption and exhaust, emissions go down. So those are all things we want. We want vehicles and machines to be more efficient on the resources we pump into them. And we want any byproduct of that machine's work to be less toxic, right? And you can only get that in these closed loop feedback systems that rely on computers to close the loop. So you have to have computer control to get the kind of control we want around objectives that are a little bit broader than just, when on car goes. And then at the same time, it opens up a whole lot of reliability concerns because now the machine can break because the software glitched, right? And that wasn't the case in the 1960s. And but you also open up those machines to cyber attack surface. So to your just to your point, you definitely have that right. There are both pros and cons, but it seems like the pros certainly outweigh the cons to get to kind of the industrialization layer of society that can support 8 billion people in the world and not polluted at the same time.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So, where do we cross the line into the stuff you're working in where you're talking about, stuff that's going to impact national security? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of TV shows that, show scary stuff about computer glitching and things like that in your car and stuff like that. But where does it cross the line into the stuff that you're dealing with?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So Fathom 5 put the first artificial intelligence program of record on a warship. The US Navy had done several demos of various things and continues to do some pretty exciting proof of concept work. But the first place that the Navy decided, okay, this is a place that is safe to deploy AI and it can make a meaningful difference in an outcome that we care about is then condition-based maintenance. So, real simply, most cars these days, you don't change the oil every 3,000 miles. The car measures when a certain number of miles have passed, when the viscosity of the oil or the particulate in the oil gets too high, and then the little change of oil light comes on, preferably a light that comes on that says, change the oil soon, and then kind of the second reminder of do it now, right? The Navy's no different. The Navy on a big machine, on a big ship, operates all of the infrastructure that you would see in a small municipality. And they are deploying artificial intelligence to make predictions about how to better maintain that. And it's surprising how important just maintenance and readiness is for the overall kind of a deciding factor in US national security. So you think it's going to be like the really, Gucci stuff with, automated fire control loops and all of this other stuff. And maybe someday that'll be safe and maybe someday it'll come. But right now, there is just so much hay to be made in just making ships more reliable that it really moves the needle for our national security.
So, for the most part, the work you're doing is somewhat related with the Defense Department and things like that, or do you do things
Yeah,
for
so we
other
are.
companies?
Yeah, that's a really interesting company. So we are a defense innovation technology company primarily. We have a couple of commercial customers, and we kind of port some of what we're doing for national security over to them. But we're a defense innovation company. And what I think is interesting in the entrepreneurship journey is how much of the original, what we now call Silicon Valley, was like de the defense electronics industry. I don't know if you've had anybody on from some of like the old company, like the original HP, original Intel, original Applied Materials, but they were all defense backed in the early days.
Well, yeah, in fact, my friend that goes way back in the military with the internet,
Yeah.
tells the joke of, I remember when debugging computers meant we literally are crawling through tubes getting the bugs out of the
Yeah, that was Grace Hopper, right? Who taped the bug in her book. Yeah, the so I'm not that quite that long in the tooth, but I was lucky to have several colleagues along the way who were, and just got so much insight into the how those original technology companies that eventually grew in what we call Silicon Valley had such a close and fruitful nexus with the Department of Defense and building things in support of national security that when I launched this company, that was the vision, was go make it like a tech company the OG way, the way they did it in the 50s and 60s. And so far it's working great, and we're doing work that people can be proud of that I think is helpful for our nation and global security in general. So I mean, the value proposition of work in this space is just wonderful.
Do you think that your iteration of the company will be things that will start trickling down to more commercial and residential use? Or, do you think that's something that's going to be beyond the scope of, where you'll want, how long you'll want to work?
Yeah. I don't plan to get another job, so I could be here for a long, long time. But no, the most certainly, right? There are so many good examples, and I'll give you one that is one of my favorites here of where defense technology that was originally built for a specific kind of DoD Department of Defense use case ended up being some of the most transformative tech in the world. And so my favorite example on that is the iPhone. The original iPhone had a half dozen or more kind of foundational technologies in it that were all seed funded and cultivated by the Defense Department. So from the basics, like the original iPhone had the was connected to the internet, which, as you point out, was built by originally ARPANET, built by the predecessor to DARPA. The glass was a research project by Owens by Corning to build scratch proof glass for rifle optics. It had GPS in it. GPS was a global positioning system built by the Navy, so submarines could pop up anywhere in the world and know where they are. And the Army was foundational to early cell phone technology that the iPhone built upon, right? So, and Steve Jobs, which is visionary enough to see all those foundational technologies and build them into the thing that became the kind of the transformative technology of the last 20 years. We think that some of the things that we're doing could be equally transformative. Just as a preview of a couple examples, there are cybersecurity concerns in throughout, I would say, kind of the industrial layer of society, water treatment, electrical power generation, oil and gas, because the machinery controllers that control those machines are susceptible and could be even more susceptible to cyber attacks. Well, we have patents for cybersecure machinery controllers that demonstrate a level of cyber resiliency under attack that has never been seen before. The Department of Defense is probably going to be the first people who need that. They have use cases for that, but we think there's broad global applicability for machinery controllers that are more trustworthy and resilient. Also, we have technology for gears that again, the Department of Defense has early use cases for high torque loads, but these gears have applicability to replace hydraulics in everything all over the world and take off, one of the largest toxic, if you measure by gallon, the number of, toxic chemicals over almost any construction site, the amount of hydraulic fluid in the big construction equipment is second only to diesel in the toxic chemicals that are, making playgrounds and homes where people live, right? And so some of our actuator technology that the DoD will fund has the potential to replace hydraulics everywhere. And so, you know, I could go on with a couple of others, but we feel like, you know, the Defense Department is a great place to start, to scale to a really important problem set, to then solve, you know, industrial reliability and security and performance concerns around the world.
That's amazing. So, are there things that you are offering to the general public right now, or ways that the listeners could get involved with the stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. If any listener is interested in cyber resilient machinery control, if you have a machine that you think, you know, needs to have the most advanced defense in depth possible on it, we'd love to talk to you about that. If you're interested in a hydraulics, you know, and being involved in the next generation of actuators, we'd love to talk to people about that. And then, you know, and another thing, we are think looking at secure operating systems. So, you know, Linux as it's deployed, Red Hat Enterprise, Linux, Windows, you know, we saw with the CrowdStrike debilitating, you know, incident that happened in 2024 that shut everything down. The way operating systems are managed presents a huge amount of attack surface. Well, we're building an on-premises AI platform from the operating system up for the DoD. We'd love to people talk to anyone that's interested in what that a total platform as a service for on-premises would look like for running AI workloads in a cybersecure manner or on-prem. So yeah, two or three right there that we'd be really excited to connect with folks on.
I absolutely love that. Well, give us your URL or the information of how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, you know, the easiest way is follow us on LinkedIn. We've got a newsletter there. We'd love for people to do that. The website kind of just has a hello at fathom5.com. Reach out, and we enjoy keeping up with people. Some of our most challenging ideas have actually come in from the community, like doing podcasts like this, doing conferences, and somebody thinks about it and writes us, and we take all of that very seriously. So we'd love to connect with people at Fathom 5 on LinkedIn or at fathom5.com online.
Perfect. Well, Zach, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you having me on. We'll catch up again.
How do we take these cool technologies that are being invented and allow them to allow our fighting force to be powerful, to show up, to do the things that they need to do? What a wonderful way, what a perfect example of quiet yet powerful innovation that makes such a difference in our world, and we don't even know about it. And yet, we would really be not okay without it. I love how people just show up, do the thing that they're good at, make an impact in the world quietly and yet so powerfully in all that they do. And I know that you do that too. And I'm looking forward to what your quiet, powerful innovation will be, because you are uniquely brilliant. You absolutely were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. We need you to absolutely be, do, and show up as the amazingly, incredibly cool you that is you, that makes the difference, does the thing, shows up, be's the change in the world that you're meant to be, to do the stuff that you're meant to do, because nobody else is going to. Nobody else is ever going to be you. Nobody else is ever gonna sing your song, tell your story, or be the you that we need you to be in this world. We need you quiet but powerfully to innovate in the ways that only you can, and have you show up each and every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. I want that for you. I hope that you are approaching that too. And that until we're together again next time, you're happy, you're safe, you're warm and loved, you're living as a thriving entrepreneur, and you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today.